I'm doing a series called Visionaries. I did part five last week, and I'm continuing on today. And the theme this morning is basically remember. And so last week I started sharing about the battlefield for the mind. If you don't know, there's a war, and the war is primarily in your head. There are like different thoughts being bombarded at you the whole time, and you have to decide which voices are of God, which are not, which are your own, and how you manage your thoughts will affect basically every part of your life. And so the mind, your mind, is a gatekeeper to the supernatural. Your mind is a gatekeeper to the supernatural. And so we've been sharing about the supernatural as well the last few weeks, and I still want two people to quickly come and share about something that happened. Are they still ready? Sandra, come, and Johan. Last week, Ashley shared about being healed by God supernaturally. And I must say, this is a genuine miracle. I don't run around anything saying it's a miracle, but this is a miracle. And they were praying for her, and so I just want from their side to share the story.
Goeiemôre, kerk. I just want to confirm everything that Ashley said last week. I'm a witness. It is true what she said. And for those who missed it, just a quick recap. She went for a jog on Monday, 2 weeks ago, and basically a car drove into her, and that's the first miracle that she didn't end up in a hospital. She landed, kind of went over the car and then landed on her feet again. But she was still hurt, her side, her hip, as well as her knees. And I think the shock kind of kicked in a bit later. When I got home later that night, she was in quite a bit of pain. And the next day, she couldn't go to work. It was just painkillers and hot water bottle and kind of pain and so. And that evening or that afternoon, a friend of ours said he wants to come and pray with us. So I thought that's a great idea, if he's got the faith to pray for healing. Because we also prayed together before that. But, you know, let's pray again. And he came, and Johan came as well, and brought us pudding. It was really cool. And then we didn't know exactly how we're going to do this now. So we anointed her, and we prayed for her, everything we know about praying for healing. And then it was this beautiful thing. It's like God's presence is always there, but then sometimes you just feel it. It's like He just manifests His presence in a way that you're so aware that God is right here, right now. And we were still praying, and Ashley said, "Guys, keep on doing what you're doing. I feel fire all over my body." So I thought, okay, that's a good thing. And we carried on praying. And then she was on the floor, and I was still kind of, oh, the hip, you know, ouch. I don't know if she's going to hurt herself. And I could see God was doing something. And I was so aware of what we've heard many times, that the King is in the house, His kingdom comes. And I was just so aware that the King is here and His kingdom is coming. He's doing something. And the next moment, she stood up in shock. And she said, "Guys, you don't understand. There's no pain. There's absolutely no pain. Nothing." And she was kind of doing this, no pain, like nothing. Like 10 minutes ago, she couldn't walk. And 10 minutes later, nothing. So we were all in shock because God actually healed her. And then we thought, okay, it's a good idea to praise God now. And we just praised Him. And even the next morning, all the bruises were gone. Even the bruising. She's perfectly fine. We went on a hike a few days later that she thought she wouldn't be able to do. And then just two things that really stand out for me is that God confirms His word. He says that He will confirm His word with signs and wonders. It will follow. And the Sunday just before this, Andres spoke about this, that was what the word was about, that Paul said to the Corinthians, "I don't come to you with plausible words, intellectual words, but by the Spirit and demonstration of the power of the Spirit. And that's exactly what happens. And even at school the next day, there's people who have so many arguments and reasons why they don't believe, but they just kind of stood there not being able to deny that, wow, there might be a God. And that is, yeah, awesome.
Hi, everyone. I think Sandra pretty much said like most of it, but I just want to give you guys a testimony from my side, how my day ended up being there praying for the people. Like, my day actually started like a normal day. You go to work and you have your challenges. I mean, you're not drifting up here holy, always focusing, praising. You're just going through your challenges, like getting angry, and then this thing falls to the ground, and everything. It was just like a normal day. And I'm always last to know on Facebook. When anything's happening, I'm like last to know on Facebook. And somebody sent me an SMS. One of the girls in the cell got hit by a car. So I was like, oh my word, I didn't even know about this. And I SMS'd Ashley, and she's like, yeah, she did get hit by a car and stuff. So I thought, okay, she's in our cell and stuff. So why don't we just go bring them some dessert or something, like just to go see how it is that she's still okay and stuff. So I remember that afternoon, I went for a jog and everything. And on the way back, Quilly stopped. Went to go grab some dessert, and as we stopped at her house, she said, some friends are coming over to come and pray for me for healing. So I'm busy sitting there. I'm like, okay, this is going to get exciting tonight. How did I end up here now? And so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, okay, we're gonna pray for this and stuff. So Greg comes over, and Sandra and Ash is sitting there. As Ash was coming out the room, she was like really hopping, like hopping like this. I was like, okay, this is really going to get interesting now. So she's busy sitting on the chair over there, and the next thing they say, okay, cool, let's pray for it. So as we're all sitting in their TV room, like she sits in the middle, and we start praying. I'm like, okay, let's grab a Bible. Normally it's a good thing to grab a Bible and like, so that you can stand on the word and stuff. So next thing I open up the Bible, and just like the familiar scriptures that you know and stuff, You just start praying it, and like we put our hands on her, we started praying for her, and we just released those scriptures. And that was just when the Lord just pitched, and like, you can't take any credit for it, because you just have this normal day, everything, you're just obedient, you put your hand on there, and boom, it just happens like that. And then she's busy falling on the ground, and she's busy laughing, and like the Lord's presence was just so amazing and stuff. And the next thing, she gets up, and she's like, I'm healed. And you're standing there, you're like, are you really healed? And she's like, I'm healed. I'm like, okay, wow, that's so awesome. And then the thing is, though, you walk around with this testimony that just says, wow, I couldn't do anything. Like, you sit there and you realize, like, you were just obedient. You just sat there, you just put your hand on there, and then the Lord just pitched and he just healed it. So, I mean, just give God the glory. That was really an awesome testimony over there. So, yeah, thanks.
Okay, so I hope that's encouraging to you. Because I have to really feel that God is wanting to do that more and more in our midst. There's this funny squeaky thing. Squeak, squeak. What is that? There's the fan. Where's Terrence? Terrence, sort out our fan thingy. That is really irritating. Okay. Okay, we're gonna just sync that out. Anyway, so the previous week I was sharing about our minds being a gate to the supernatural. And what that means is that when you and I agree with God, in other words, we receive God's truth and we agree with that, then a door opens for the supernatural. In the sense like, God, we agree that you heal, and we pray, somebody gets healed. Okay, so there was heaven coming to earth. And in the same way, if you agree with a lie, if you agree with that which is bad and wrong and of the devil, what will happen is hell will come to earth. Okay? And how that basically works is really easy to understand. And I asked this last week. Anybody that really battles with, it's really, really hard for you to get depressed. Anybody? I mean, it's impossible for you to get depressed. You never get depressed. Anybody? Because we'd like you to pray for us if there's somebody like that. Why am I asking that? I'm saying because it's so easy to get negative. It's so easy to get depressed. It's so easy. It takes 10 minutes flat to go from you're on a high to you're miserably depressed by just things that had happened or the focus of your thoughts. And I'm going to expound a little bit about that. And I shared last week, you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12, verse 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so there's this battle going on in our minds the whole time. Okay, so it's a good place to start. Realize there's a battle. Become aware of your thoughts and what's going on in your mind. I've been focusing the last month on this, and it's just amazing how many thoughts come through that really shouldn't be coming through my mind. Negative stuff or critical stuff or whatever. And so, visionaries. What is a visionary? A visionary is somebody that sees life differently. Visionary is somebody that they look at life in a certain way, and so they are able to change the world. Everybody's looking down here, but they're looking on a higher level. They're living on a higher plane. And so a definition for visionary would be to view reality from God's perspective. To view reality from God's perspective. A visionary. And God has called all of us to be visionaries. I'm sure you've spoken to people or experienced this yourself. It's like sometimes people find themselves in a deep, dark hole. It's like a pit. Previously, they were up there, up here. They were in the light. They were enjoying life. And then in a proverbial sense, they fall into a pit. And all they're seeing is the wall of the pit. It's just dark. It's negative. It's dreary. And obviously, you get different levels of this. Anybody been in a pit before? Experience that? Just your thoughts are dark. Maybe you feel depressed. You feel negative. What's the purpose of life? Where am I going? And a while ago, you were actually in a good space. You were in the light. You were experiencing, seeing things clearly. But now suddenly you've come down to a lower level and you suddenly just battling to see life as it should be. And again, that comes down to our thoughts and our thinking. But if you and I can view reality from God's perspective, even though our circumstances might be challenging, but we see it from God's perspective, we're able to overcome our circumstances. So that's what I share a little bit about. And so we find ourselves, and we find many of us as Christians as well, living substandard lives. We live powerless lives, ineffective lives. Some of us are tormented by fear. Many of us live by our own ability, not God's ability. For many of us, heaven is not coming to earth. For many of us, many people would say, well, it feels a little bit like hell sometimes. And you can trace it all back to your thinking. It's not your circumstances that dictate to you how you should be thinking. But often we allow it to. And so there's a battle for the mind. Look at this verse, Deuteronomy 4, verse 1. Powerful scripture. I just highlight one or two sections. It says, now listen that you may live and go in and possess the land. Now listen. Hear the word of God that you might live and that you might go in and possess the land. When the word of God starts soaking our hearts and minds, we start living differently. Suddenly, things are possible. Suddenly, you can do things that you never dreamt before you could do. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. It says, only take heed to yourself. In other words, take heed to yourself. Be aware. What's happening here in your mind? What's happening in your thoughts? And it says, diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. It's saying, don't forget. And if you're a Christian, you should have these moments in your life that you can look back and say, well, God came through for me there. And I remember when that happened. That was significant. And I remember when that happened. It's like these testimonies of amazing things. That's why we have Sandra and Johan sharing what happened to Ashley, because we want to remind all of us, God can heal. And not just He can heal, He has healed. And if He's healed once, Why not the next person and the next and the next? But so often there's this block in our heads, like rocks in our minds. It just blocks the flow of God's river of life. There's this river that wants to flow through us, and these wrong thinking, stinking thinking, it's like rocks. It just blocks the flow of God's Spirit. And there's this massive renewal of your mind that needs to take place. Lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. So Moses was speaking to the people of God, Israel, saying, guys, don't forget all the miracles God has done. Don't forget how powerful God is. Don't forget, because if you forget, you're dead. If you forget, your mind will go down a spiral of negativity and complaining, and in the end, you'll find yourself disconnected from God because there's this block in your mind. So we need to remember. So what does it say? Take heed to yourself. Should we take heed to our weight? Fashion, is that what it's speaking about? Looking good? No, it's talking about our thoughts, our minds. Take heed to yourself. Guard your heart and your mind, that you may live and that you may possess the land. So how's your thinking? How's your thinking? Is your God able to do anything? Do you expect Him to move on your behalf? Do you expect God to change lives? How's your thinking? Or are you in this negative mode of, I don't know, probably not going to happen. And the key that I want to highlight this morning is remember. Can you say remember? Remember. Remember. Three things that we need to remember. We need to remember what God has done and what God is doing. We need to remember how great and powerful our God is. And then we need to remember who we are. And so I want to highlight those three things and just explain a little bit around that. You see, we easily forget what God has done. And our natural way of thinking is towards, I don't know why, but we naturally focus on the negative, the bad. You can have 100 good things. One bad thing happens. Do you know what you focus on? The one bad thing. That's crazy. I call it the empty chair syndrome. It's like, here is a chair. It's empty. Over there, we have some wonderful, awesome people sitting there. You know, what we can do is we start focusing on, why is this chair so empty? This is terrible. This chair is empty. It's often happened to me. Come to church, especially when you start off, let's say, with 15 or 20 people, and sometimes only 12 pitch in church. Then you definitely don't focus on the 12 wonderful people. You're thinking, where's the rest of the world? And you're miserably depressed. But we all do it. We focus on what is not instead of focusing on what is. If you start celebrating the first 12 or 10 or 5, then they become more. God brings more. God blesses because your focus is right. You stay connected to God, and so His supernatural power can operate. And so I'm learning this, like a rewiring of my mind and my thinking, focusing on what God is doing. Focus on what He has done. Focus on the wonderful people that are here, or in your life, or in your workplace, or wherever. There are so many ways we can focus on what is not instead of focusing on what is. And our minds are always going over to the what is not. What is not. And you find yourself depressed and worried and stressed. And so often we focus on, oh, I've got so much still to grow. But we forget how much we have grown. We had a pastor's summit a few weeks ago in Stellenbosch. And then Shofar is now, we're celebrating our 20-year anniversary globally. And so some of the pastors came together and they did a video recording of us sitting on couches. We're sitting like chatting with one another. And we're telling stories of what God has done over the last 20 years. And so I told a few stories of what God has done in my life, and I'm like, I remember. I remember God did these amazing things back then and back then and back then. And suddenly my faith was built up. Suddenly I realized, oh, maybe God is with me. Significantly with me. And it's just so easy for us to downplay everything and to forget what God has done. And so at the end we find ourselves in negative space. So are you focusing on what is not, or are you focusing on what is? Focus on how much you have grown. Focus on what you have, not what you don't have. Remind yourself. Remember. Look at this. Romans 8, verse 5 to 8. It sort of speaks of this battle between the spirit and the flesh, or the negative and the positive. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Again, the mind set on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded or fleshly minded is death. Can you say that? Death. Death. It's death. It leads to death. It leads to depression. It leads to fear. It leads to lots of negative stuff. You find yourself in that pit again. Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It makes you an enemy of God. For it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So your mind on the flesh, it's what God is not doing. Mind in the flesh, negative stuff. Mind in the flesh, focus on things that bring the darkness of fear. Mind on the spirit, focus on what God is doing, has done. Rejoice in the small things of life. The Bible says, do not despise the day of small beginnings. For instance, you battle to get up in the morning. You really want to get up in the morning to spend some time with God. Now you want, like, your goal is, say, you want to do 2 hours every morning from 5 to 7. But you're just going to get up at 5. And so by God's grace, you got up this morning at 6:45. And you had 15 minutes in the Word. Celebrate that. Hallelujah. Lord, I celebrate my 15 minutes. I give it to you as an offering. Please multiply by. I thank you, God, for that little bit. I thank you for the little bit that you are doing and have done. This can really change us. And so I'm trusting for us for a new culture in church. Do you know what happens when we get together? So often in any setting, I'm sure in the workplace, it's the same way. You have a meeting and you kick off with all the stuff that's going wrong. We have this crisis. And so that crisis sort of defines our thinking and the whole meeting. Why not start off every time you get together as a small group, as friends around coffee, share what God is doing. Just shock the devil. Just freak him out. And say, wow, Ashley got healed. Praise God. Oh, I heard of that person that they were struggling with this and this and this. And God set them free. And I heard this story about this one. And wow, God is at work. It just sets the tone. And then everything else can be in the context of our God is great. Our God is powerful. Our God is at work. Not, oh, crisis, malema alweer. The guy just doesn't want to die. He doesn't want to die. I mean, not physically die. I mean, just go away. Go away. It's amazing. And so how many people have been freaked out again about the latest article? And there was a focus on that. No, let's focus on what God is doing in our country. Let's focus on so many people coming to Christ. So many churches flourishing. God is doing an amazing thing, a culture. So I want to challenge you to do that. Whenever you get together again, share something good that is happening. Okay. Good. I see we have some honeymooners back. Cliff and Sandy. Yay. Give them a hand. was a wonderful wedding. Really enjoyed it. Mr. and Mrs. Amazing. No. If you've not been married and you get married, then you understand. This is amazing. Okay, anyway, all the married people understand. Okay. So first thing is, remember what God has done. Secondly, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord great and awesome. Remember the Lord great and awesome. Nehemiah 4, verse 14. Nehemiah and the guys that were in Jerusalem, Nehemiah came back from another part of the world, and he came to restore the gates of the city, that massive conflict, lots of enemies, everything was against them. And so the people were losing hope, people were losing courage, they were starting to give up on this building of the wall thing. And then he spoke to them, he said, "And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren." Remember the Lord, great and awesome. In other words, do not focus now on the challenge. Lift your eyes. Lift your eyes. Look up. Look up at your awesome God. Look up at your able God. Look up at the one who is for you and with you. Lift your eyes. Lift your thinking to what is possible when God starts moving. So I want to share with you what's your responsibility. And one of the things we get confused is we get confused between what is my responsibilities and what's God's responsibility. What's your responsibility? Your responsibility is to trust. That's it. Your responsibility is to trust in God. God's responsibility is to provide for you, to protect you, and to deliver you. But do you know why we get stressed out of our minds? Because we try to protect ourselves, provide for ourselves, deliver ourselves, do all the things that's God's work. I often catch myself. Sonic and I, we chat about things, about the church. And I realize I'm stressing about something that I have no control over. This is God's business. My business is trust. 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 Beautiful scripture. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The problem is your understanding. We try to figure things out. How? God, how are you going to do this? I just can't see how you're going to do this. I can't see how you're going to heal Ashley. I mean, she's got this big bump and all this blue, and she's walking like a very, very old lady. God, I can't see how you're going to do this. And still afterwards, we still don't understand it, but we know he did. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Stop trying to figure out how. I always get so confused in terms of comes to church and church growth. I think, God, how are you going to do it? Don't try and figure it out. God always does in a way that you didn't expect it. He does it differently. And so what does trust come down to? Trust comes down to confidence. Trust comes down to confidence. This is powerful. You see, for many of us, our prayers are so soaked in unbelief that it's just powerless. And so many of I've been evaluating myself. Many of my times of prayer have simply been prayers of unbelief. I'm so worried. How's it going to work? So I'm spending hours of unbelieving prayers with an end and it's powerless. But there's a confidence that God wants to bring to us. And I experienced this a while ago with, I was really worried about somebody. And so I was lying awake at night and I just couldn't sleep. I was like, fear came for me. I was worried, really, really worried. I didn't think, how on earth are we ever going to sort this out? I don't have a clue because this is just really challenging. And then I came to this conclusion, trust. Know that God is for you and he will sort this out. I don't know how, but he will. He will. The moment I did that, this peace came over me and I've been just not afraid again. Trust is a confidence that you have in your God who is great and awesome. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Remember that He is powerful. Remember that He is for you. Remember that He is able. Remember that He wants to. He wants to do that. And don't try and figure out the how. Mark 4, verse 18 to 20. And this speaks again about things that brings a block in our minds, that keeps the Word of God from coming in, that keeps the seed. It speaks of Jesus speaking this parable about a seed, the Word of God being compared to a seed that He's sown. And then He says at this bit, now these are the ones, the seed, sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit, some 30-fold, 60-100. So the three things that blocks God's word in our lives, and I experience it, I see that often in Christians, in anybody. We are so overwhelmed with the worries of life that God's word cannot make that impact. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. But that word cannot get in because you're just overwhelmed with your worries and the stuff. It brings us wall in our minds. And it says the deceitfulness of riches. We put our trust in stuff and that just disconnects us from God. And desires for other things. Our hearts and minds are just full of stuff. Like I shared a week or two ago. The Avengers. It took me days to get that movie out of my head. Days. I'm better now. I am better now. But it's terrible when you're like, oh God, so good to be in your word. And then you see this Hulk guy. Oh, I am always angry. Yeah. Anyway, you have to see it. But don't allow your heart to get filled with it. But these rocks come into our minds when we're overwhelmed with the cares of this world. And so you have to lay down those cares. Question for you. Have you repented enough? Oh, that's weird. Let me read this verse for you. Mark 1, verse 15. Jesus speaking says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Well-known passage. This is Jesus speaking and He's saying, Jesus ushering a new dispensation. At that time, nobody's ever seen the type of healings and miracles and resurrections and the feeding of the 5,000 and walking on water. And it was just amazing. Jesus was ushering in a new dispensation, saying, guys, there's something new here. It's called the kingdom of God. But do you know what? You need to repent. What does it mean? Change your thinking. Change your ways. You will not be able to partake of this kingdom. You will not be able to walk in the power of God unless your mind is changed, renewed, where you start seeing things according to God's perspective. When you start seeing according to God's perspective, then anything's possible. Bill Johnson says, let me read that for you. Most Christians have repented enough to be forgiven. So they're going to heaven. But they've not repented enough to see the kingdom. I agree. It's amazing how you can read everything in the scriptures but miss the healing, the deliverance, the power. Everything Jesus did was miracles, signs and wonders and proclaiming the word. And yet we step back from that and we live powerless lives where we speak the word but we don't expect the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? Because our minds have not been renewed. We think it was other people somewhere else in Africa, but not here. Most Christians have repented enough to be forgiven. Yes, they're going to heaven. They've said, God, forgive me my sin. They've forgiven. But their minds have not been renewed enough to see the kingdom. And what happens is, I shared this last week, it's like God is playing a piano. And each of us represents a note. And then as He's going along, He hits this note. And it's just like, whoa, that's off. That's discordant, that's out of tune, that's just wrong. That's the Christian whose mind has not been renewed. That's the person whose mind is just the Bible says when your mind is on the flesh, you become almost like an enemy of God. You just disconnect completely. And so God will then just skip over those notes and you go to the notes that are in tune with his thinking. And those people will experience the miracles and the others won't. So how do we remember? Just quickly practical, how do you and I remember? Good place to start is open the Bible in the Psalms and you read the Psalms over. You just read it and read it and read it and read it until you start, and until it starts affecting your heart, until it starts speaking to your heart and your mind, until it becomes alive, and until you start believing. We can see God. Yes, he is powerful. Yes, he is faithful. Yes, he came through for David and he will come through for me. He is the Lord my shepherd. So read the Psalms over and over again. And something that Sonic and I have been doing this last while is we took promises and we put a promise on a page, printed out, and we've been sticking it on a wall in our bedroom. The whole wall is covered with like 16 plus pages, A4 size pages of promises. And every morning, every evening, we just read it and we declare it again. God, you have said. God, you have spoken. God, you have promised. We remind ourselves. We remind ourselves. We remind ourselves. Remember the Lord your God who is strong and awesome. Remember the Lord. You can't remember if your mind is full of rubbish and you're not reminding yourself with the promises of God. And then just the last thing. Remember who you are. You see, when the enemy comes against you and me, he will attack your identity. When the devil came to Jesus, he said to him in Matthew 4, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, he was attacking his identity. And the enemy will do the same with us. I read an article. They say they did a study at a major university. And they evaluated people's self-talk. The amount of words they speak to themselves. They say it's unbelievable how many words you speak to yourself per day. And they said 90% of everything people speak to themselves are negative. It's accusing. It's attacking them. Who they are. Speaking down at themselves. Negative. You're just a worthless sinner. And nobody. Your life won't make a difference. You're like an ant. Meaningless and insignificant. Stop dreaming of doing great things for God. Don't be so arrogant. Goodness. Don't be so proud. Those are the type of words that we can hear continuously. Speaking down, speaking down. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You're nothing. You're nobody. God's angry with you. You can't come to God. You've not prayed enough. You've sinned too much. Come on, you're not good enough, etc. and etc. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 to 10. This is my last scripture. It says, but you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I remember at the age of 18 when I came to the Lord, I hated myself. I absolutely despised myself. I would swear at myself in the mirror and say, you so and so. I absolutely hate myself. That's not good. Not beneficial. For heavenly mindedness. Disconnects you. It says that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. And so you and I as a Christian especially, you need to remember who you are in Christ. You need to remind yourself who you are, and then you need to proclaim it. You see, there's this intimidation coming towards us the whole time. Shut up, Christian. Be quiet. Be quiet. Don't be bold for the truth. Don't stand up for what is right. Who do you think you are? This assault of intimidation to keep us quiet. But if you know who you are, you can stand up and go for it. You must say, I am chosen. Can you say that? I am chosen. God has chosen you. I am chosen. Out of all the people on the face of the earth, God has chosen you. If you are a believer this morning, then you have been chosen. The King of Kings have chosen you. And so the Lord has spoken to me this a few times this last while. He told me, I have chosen you. 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 It's not because you've done so great stuff. It's not you've been such a good person. I have chosen you for my purpose. I have chosen you to make a difference in this world. Then you can say, I am royalty. Can you say that? I am royalty. So you're not a nobody. You're a son or a daughter of the King of the universe. It's irrelevant where you come from, wrong side of the railroad tracks, demographics, poor, rich, it doesn't matter. You are royalty. You are a prince. You are a princess because you're the son of the God of the universe or the daughter of the God of the universe. So you must declare it. You must look in the mirror and say, I am royalty. You, yes, yes, I'm speaking to you. You are royalty. Lift up your head and be so ashamed. God is with you. That brings a massive shift in one's heart. You start living differently. And then you can say, as the scripture says, I am holy. Let's say that. I am holy. By the blood of Jesus Christ, I am holy. Not because of my performance, but because of what Jesus has done for me. It brings a boldness. I am holy. You need to declare that over yourself. I am a sinner no more. I'm a saint. That's what the Bible says. I am a saint. You are a saint. And then you can say this, I am special. It's all in the scriptures there. This is for everybody. Can you say that? I am special. Goodness, don't be so arrogant. Yes, you are special. I am special. Transformed my life when this sort of clicked in. I am loved by God. That's a wondrous love. I am special. You are special. You need to declare that over yourself. When the guilt comes and the shame comes and the accusations come, you say, no, I am special. Jesus died for me. The God of the universe became a man in the flesh and hung on a cross and died in your place. Now, God won't do that for junk. Somebody said that God never makes a bad deal. He would never pay 1,000 rand for something that's worth 5 rand. God never, Jesus was a Jew. They don't do bad deals. So when Jesus hung on that cross and he shed his very own blood, he was saying, I'm making a good deal. I am buying a people who are valuable. Even more valuable than my own life. Do you know that Jesus, God, esteems you higher than himself? That's shocking. I know, it seems blasphemous. But there's a scripture where God says to us, esteem others higher than yourself. And there's quite a few scriptures that show that God would never expect something from us that he's not willing to do himself. So when Jesus went to the cross, he esteemed us higher than himself because he valued us higher than himself. Don't know if that makes sense. But he values you. And so what you and I need to get into our lives is this. A sense of significance. A sense of significance. You need a sense of significance. It silences those lies and assignments of the enemy. All the shame and guilt and accusations. When you say, I am special. I am significant. I have a calling upon my life that is significant. It unlocks something on the inside of us and heaven comes to earth. It brings a boldness, a confidence that you know that God is with me. God is for me. God is for you. And if your mind is renewed to a point where you start believing it, you will see the sick healed. You will see the oppressed delivered. You will see signs and wonders. Boldness is the key there. Confidence. I am significant in Christ. There was one of our pastors went to a conference, and this pastor, CS, he's running our School of the Supernatural. And so he went to a conference to sort of learn and then to bring it back to our Shofar churches. And then he says that one guy prayed for him. And this guy doesn't know him from anywhere. And this guy just saw a graph. I've shared this before, but he saw a graph. And on this graph, he saw like it moving up. And the two axes were more confidence, more impact. And he's saying, for you as a group of churches, the more confident you get, the greater the impact will be. Supernatural impact. God will confirm his word with signs and wonders. The defining thing is, do you believe? Are you confident? Are you significant? Are you special? Are you chosen? Are you holy? Are you royalty? Just allow those words to sink into your heart and mind. It will change you. Remember what God has done. Remember who you are. Remember how great and glorious your God is. And do you know where's the place we find out who God is better than any other place? It's in worship, when we lift him up, when we declare the praises of God. As the scripture says, proclaim the praises of God. And Matty saw this picture last week in the service. She saw this big mountain, which represented sort of the strongholds in our lives. And then she says, as we lifted up the name of Jesus, this mountain broke in two. The strongholds came down. This thing you're battling in your mind, the stuff that's controlling you, the guilt, the shame, the whatever, the negativity, the insecurity, the fear of man, the whatever, all those things. When we lift up the name of Jesus, the mountain is broken. And you get a download of who you are. When you see him, then you see yourself, because you find yourself in him. Then if that makes sense. But when you see Jesus, then you find yourself. You find who God made you to be. It's powerful. Remember. Can you say remember? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word that is a light that shines in darkness. And Lord, as you said, let there be light. God, we pray for our minds and our thoughts, for light to shine in our hearts and our minds. Lord, may our minds be renewed. May the lies that are continuously coming through our minds be exposed, be rejected, and replaced with the truth. God, may we come to a place where we can truly remember, know who our God is, great and powerful. May we remember what God has done in our lives. Stir our faith. And God, may we remember how much we are loved. May we be able to say, I am special, without being proud about it. Just confident as a son or a daughter of the King. And so, Lord, we realize that our minds are the gatekeepers to the supernatural. Our minds are the gatekeepers to the supernatural. And so, Lord, we want to take back what the enemy has stolen from us. We want to take back our land. We want to possess our minds with the truth, with life, that we may live and possess the land. We declare that our God is holy. We declare that our God is powerful. We declare that our God is with us. We declare that we are special. We are holy. We are significant. We are royalty. We are blessed. And so, God, we ask, open the floodgates of heaven. and pour out your glorious truth upon us. Let the strongholds come down. Let the mountains of lies be broken in Jesus' name. Listen to the word of God and live.